many topics, many halachic issues that we could talk about when it comes to Yom HaTzmaut. We could talk about the halachas of Hallel, with a bracha, without a bracha, Tachanun, many different issues that come up. But we're going to talk first and foremost, and mainly tonight, about specifically the kfiyah of the day, creating a holiday that relates to coming back to Eretz Yisrael, establishing a Jewish government. What are the parameters and the basis for setting up a holiday for Am Yisrael? Is there a basis for setting up a holiday on a personal level? If a family experiences a miracle, what's the basis for that? Is that quoted in the Poskim at all? Nationally is a separate question. What about setting a holiday for an entire Am? Just historically, if we think about it, again, in 1948, the state was established. It was a miracle, as we'll talk about a little bit later. If you read any of the books involved, it allowed the Jewish people, so to speak, to continue and to survive after the Holocaust. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky pointed this out in an amazing ha'ara in Parshas Bo and Emes LeYaakov. In source number one, Rabbi Yaakov notes that Am Yisrael is his thesis in the main text of his Sefer there in Parshas Bo, is that Bayis Sheni really wasn't the full Beis HaMikdash. Bayis Sheni was missing the five things. The Gemara tells us at the end of the first parak in Yuma was missing Shechina, missing the Aron, many things that were missing in the second Beis HaMikdash. What was the purpose of the second Beis HaMikdash? Who was missing all of those things? And they even knew there wasn't going to be an eternal Beis HaMikdash. So why exactly, what was the purpose of it? So Rabbi Yaakov explains that before Bnei Yisrael were about to go into the arduous Golus for thousands of years, Hashem knew that they needed something to keep their survival, so that they could survive the Golus. They needed a little chizik, a shot in the arm, before they went into this long Golus. Says Rabbi Yaakov, the chelek me'asibah she'achzir Hashem Yisrael l'Eretz Yisrael az, ha'isa b'shvil she'yuchlu l'aso v'la'aruch ez ha'tar ha'shebal peh. Hashem knew the surviving Golus, we had to come back. I write the Mishnah, expanded on that, the Gemara. It needed to be the Nachla of all Am Yisrael. It came back. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi wrote the Mishnah of Achulu. So they needed that in order to help Am Yisrael survive. And then, the quotes there that numerous times Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said that the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948, 3 years after the ashes of the Holocaust, was because Am Yisrael needed to survive after a third of the Am was destroyed. To strengthen Jewish identity, Hashem needed to do that. Man, we can't fathom, and none of us were alive at that time. But imagine in 1945, if anybody would have said that there would be a Jewish homeland, a Jewish government for the first time in 2,000 years, we would have said, you're crazy. We would have said, forget it. Imagine just 3 years later, to be able to establish a place where Jews could go from wherever they are in the world, right? A country that welcomes Jews is just unfathomable. So, yes, we needed it. Yes, maybe that's what allowed Jewish continuity to continue and Jewish identity. But the question is, what about the establishment of a holiday? That's what our focus is going to be tonight. That specific question. Establishing Yom HaTzmaut as a holiday in the year. And again, obvious place to look are the other rabbinic holidays that were established in history. Chanukah and Purim. What were the ingredients for Purim and Chanukah that motivated Chazal to establish those days as holidays? And did those ingredients exist by 1948, Yom HaTzmaut, as well? The last holiday that we know that has been established, the last two holidays were Purim and Chanukah. Of course, Pasuk says in Esther, in source number two, Alkena Yudima Prozim Yashrim Baria Prazos, Osimis Yomar Boasala Chodesh Adar, Simcha, the 14th day of Adar, the 15th day of Adar, was made into a holiday. Why? Why was it made into a holiday? So yes, the Gemara says we were saved. But there were many salvations in history. Maybe not of the entire nation. What was the halachic mechayev, so to speak? Says the Nesivos. Rav Shechter likes to quote this Nesivos, and much of what I'm going to say tonight is partly based on an article in Rick Schechter's Sefer, and there are many different approaches. I'm just going to go through one of them, and there'll be more. There have been books and books and volumes written about this topic. We'll focus on this Mahalach that he has. The Nesivus writes in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, Ulakach, or Megillah Starim, Ulakach Asu Gampin Yantif, Shalafi Daitam, Sherau Mechias Amalek, You know why they established Purim? Purim, which was the holiday, as you remember, between the two Batei Migdash. Purim, they were in Shushan. That was towards the end of the 70 years. Why they established that as a holiday? Because they felt that this was the beginning of the Geula. Aschalta de Geula. That's borrowing a term from a Gemara Maseches Megillah. The Roi Haya. Really, the second going back for the Beis HaMikdash could have been like the first one. But we didn't merit. But it was still an aschalta to the geula. That's the secret. When do we establish a holiday, a national holiday for Am Yisrael? If an event occurs that we assume that we're able to look at and say, this is the beginning of the Geula. If a person, a family is saved, a nace occurs, as we'll talk about by Hashem later, they can make their own personal holiday, but that's not for Am Yisrael. But if there is an event that takes place that can be viewed as the beginning of the Geula process, Aschalta de Geula, so then, Nesiva says, maybe even obligated to establish a holiday as a recognition of that event that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Am Yisrael. Okay, great. So, was this Aschalta de Geula? So, we have to define two terms. First of all, what's Geula? How do you define redemption? How do you define what is the halachic definition of Geula? And then we can figure out what is Aschalta de Geula, the beginning of that stage. So let's talk about first question. What is Geula? What is the definition of Geula redemption? We know we were redeemed from Mitzrayim. Geula, that was Geula's Mitzrayim. So what were the ingredients that went into calling that Geula? Says the Ramban. The Ramban in Parsha Shmos, in Sefer Shmos. The Ramban called Sefer Shmos, Sefer HaGeula. Sefer HaGolus VaHaGeula MiMenu. That is the Ramban, source number 4. A Hagdama to the Ramban in the Sefer Shmos. Yeah. The Ramban writes similar words in his Hagdama to Parshas Truma. He has a separate introduction to Parshas Truma also. Ishlam HaKasev Sefer Bereishis to Sefer HaYetzira B'chidish HaOlam. We finished Sefer Bereishis, which was the Sefer of creation. The Yetzira is called Notzar, B'mikrei HaAvos. The creation of the world and the creation of the nation. That was Bereishis, Sefer Yetzira. As Ramban writes, again, not our topic for tonight, Maisa Avos Simin Labanim, or the Ramban's Lashon, Yitzira Labanim. Right? The Avos create for the future generations. That's all gracious. The Acharesha Hishlema Yitzira, Ischil Sefer Acher, the Inyan, a Maisa Abamin Aramazim Ahem. Sefer Shmos is Sefer Golus and Sefer Geula. That's the Ramban's coinage. Golus and Geula. If you'd have asked us, this is Golus and Geula, so what is Sefer Shmos take us to? This is the Sefer of Redemption, the Sefer of Geula. We look at the end of Sefer Shmos, we're not in Eretz Yisrael. So look over, that's not part of the definition of Geula, be in Eretz Yisrael specifically. So what is Geula? Remember, Sefer Shmos also did not end in after Matan Torah, after Yisrael Mishpatim. Where did Sefer Shmos end? The building of the Mishkan, Hashem resting his presence in the Mishkan. Ashras Ashchina in a binyan is Hamigdash or a Binyan Mishkan. That's Geula according to the Ramban. Geula means when we build a home, when we build a structure, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to build for him, and he could rest his presence there, that is the goal. Obviously, the ultimate goal is the Beis HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael. But Shmos was the Bechina of that. Ula means Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and our being able to meet with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that bias. That is the Ramban's assumption. Sefer Shmos is Golus and Geula. He doesn't say it's partial Geula. The Mishkan, the last Sukkim in Bukudei. Hashem's cloud goes down and rests on the Mishkan. Kshayatim in Mitzrayim, says the Ramban. Abba Bishayatim in Beis Avadim, Adayin Yechashu Gulim. Yehayu Baris Olahem Nevochem Amidbar. Kshabal Ar Sinai, Vaasu HaMishkan. Shavah Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yishra Shkinasa B'neiam. Once we have a Mishkan, Hashem rests his presence on the Mishkan. Az Shavu El Ma'alas Avosam. That's where they returned to the Ma'al of their Avos, and they were able to be in the state of Geula. That's Geula according to the Ramban, Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So now let's get to the next stage. What is the beginning of that process? What is Aschalta, the Geula? So let's say we want to say that ultimately we're on the road to build a Beis HaMikdash. It's a long process. How do we know this is the beginning of that process? Rav Shechter puts together two important sources. Number one is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. On Daf Chaf. Gemara says in source number 5, Tanya Rav Yossi Omer, Shalosh mitzvos nitzavu yisrael b'kisasan la'aretz. When we went in and when we, Be'ez Hashem, will go back in or have gone back in, there are three mitzvahs that we have to do nationally. What are the three mitzvahs? And the Gemara says they have to be done in order. In order. Shalosh mitzvos nitzavu yisrael b'kisasan la'aretz. Number one, Lahamed lehamelech who appoint the king. Appoint a melech. Number two, Wahachr Zahar Shal Amalek. To wipe out Amalek. Number three, Livdos Lam Beis HaBechira. To build a Beis HaMikdash. A king, Amalek, Beis HaBechira. Obviously in that order, because the king is the one that organizes the army, which will then destroy Amalek. And we don't have a Beis HaMikdash unless there's Shalom. As we know, David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, Shlomo only built the Beis HaMikdash once there was Shalom, while there were still wars going on, he couldn't build the Mikdash. So the Gemara says, Hamlachas Melech and Krisas Amalek are the beginning of the process, the lead-in, or the Hachanis for third step of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Gemara, the Pesukim say in Divrei Hayamim, right? Well, why David HaMelech could not build the Beis HaMikdash? Because he was not a man of peace, right? The Pasuk says, He alayed Devar Hashem Lemar, Giver Yamin Perachav Beis, Dam La Rav Shafachta. Not your fault, but it can't be a Mikdash unless there's Shalom. And therefore, it has to be in that order. First Melech, then Krisas Amalek, and then Binyan Beis HaMikdash. There are many stories written, I gave you one of them, that people came to Rav Soloveitchik in Torah number 7, in Be'ikvei Hatzon. The Poskim were talking in 1967. You know, after the amazing miracles of the Six-Day War. And they came like, okay, let's build a Beis HaMikdash. Harabayas, you know, we had it for a couple of minutes, whatever it was. Let's build a Beis HaMikdash. And all the poskim said, you can't build a Beis HaMikdash yet. There's still a Amalek. There's still plenty of Amalek in the world. And you have to go in order. And unless Amalek is gone, there's no being a Beis HaMikdash. Okay, it doesn't mean, I'm not saying anything about the Kalim Museum in the Old City. They're getting ready. They're not building the Beis HaMikdash, right? They're getting some Kalim ready to hopefully use. But in terms of actual Binyan Beis HaMikdash, that can't happen because Rahman al-Islam, there's still plenty of Amalek out there that do not want us to build the Beis HaMikdash. They don't want us to exist. But again, at least in that realm. That is point number one. Point number one is Gemara and Sanhedrin, the stages of Geula. The Geula is Mikdash, and at the final stage, the Gemara tells us two preparatory stages, two parts of the beginning of that process, and that is appointing a king, and number two, wiping out Amalek. Point two, and then we put them together. Point two, this is, I gave my Monday chug this week was about the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So this section I also mentioned in that shiur, and that is the Ramban, as we know, very famously counts the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as a mitzvah saseh daraisa, separate, independent mitzvah. The Ramban writes in source number 8, mitzvah revi is the fourth mitzvah that he said that the Rambam left out. Shinistabinu l'aresha sa'aretz, asher nosan akal yisparach v'yisal avotzenu, our mitzvah to go into the land, la'avrim l'isak v'yakov, below nazo v'yazul aseinu, not to leave it with anyone else, ol shmama or desolation, mitzvah to live there, mitzvah to settle the land, mitzvah not to leave it desolate, all the different parts of the mitzvah, mitzvah to talk about it positively, many different aspects of the mitzvah. But the big mystery, as we mentioned, is the sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam does not count it as a separate, independent mitzvah saseh. You know, it's, it seems like every parsha in the Torah talks about the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So there is the Megillas Esther, one of the achronim on the Nosek on the Rambam, that says, oh, it's not a mitzvah bizman hazeh. It was only a mitzvah when Yeshua ben Nun came in and lost his love. And that was the sheet that the Lubavitch, that the Satmar Rebbe believed in. He made this Megillas Esther famous. But 99% of the poskim, right, left, middle, all poskim assume that can't be the case. Meshech Chachma and the many others, because Rambam himself, Beferish, counts 10 halachas that are based on Yishuv Eretz Yisrael bizman hazeh, from Hilchas Shabbos to Hilchas Ksuba to Hilchas Avadim. There are many rayas that are not for now, that clearly the Rambam holds it's a mitzvah bizman hazeh. So there must be a different reason why the Rambam does not count it as a separate one of the 613. Rambam doesn't count Birchas HaTorah as a separate one of the 613. What, he doesn't believe that it's a mitzvah? Ramban doesn't count tefillah, davening, as a mitzvah. So, but it's not a mitzvah. You could be a perfect Jew, midaraisa, according to the Ramban, without davening. Russia Weiss likes to point out, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael for the Rambam and davening, tefillah for the Ramban. They're both not counted, but that's a Hilchas Sefer HaMitzvahs issue. That's not an issue of yesodos and basic and foundation for the religion. So there must be a different reason why the Rambam doesn't count it, and many suggest that he puts it and includes it in a different mitzvah, and he's not going to count it both. So the Abnei Nezer in Torah number 9 assumes, the Sachet Shavu Rebbe assumes that the Rambam counts it in the mitzvah of Hachrim Tachrimein, mitzvah of driving out the other nations. So the other nations are driven out by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm sorry, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help by Am Yisrael. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to drive out the other nations and then leave? Drive them out to live there, right? You ask them to leave. You want to live here in peace and accept the mitzvahs, Ger Tosha, fine. But the whole purpose of driving them out doesn't mean that we should then go live somewhere else. So, of course, the first step is driving them out. The Rambam counts that mitzvah, and it's to be able to live there. Achrim Tachrimein, that's the Avnei Nezer in Torah number 9. Lo nimna Achrim Tachrimein b'yeshiva zeret Yisrael l'shtayim, umanam rach mitzvah Achrim Tachrimein. That's one suggestion. Another suggestion is that it's included, I mentioned in the shiur earlier in the week, maybe it's included, very creative suggestion, maybe it's included in Birchas HaMazon. Part of the mitzvah d'araisa of Birchas HaMazon is to thank Hashem for Eretz Yisrael. Right? No delacha, Eretz chemda tova arachava. But you thank somebody and then you say thanks but no thanks, like a child gets a gift from a parent. Oh, I thank you so much, but you know, I'll take something else. If we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously it's not thank you, but I'll do without it. Right? It's included in that mitzvah. Amazing. Berachas Hamasa. Rav Schechter has a different shot. Schechter, with three or four rayas, assumes that the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which is part of it, is setting up a government and a working society in Eretz Yisrael, is included in the mitzvah of appointing a king, Amadas Melech. And it brings three rayas in source number 10, that appointing a king doesn't mean the king per se. Of course, there are mitzvahs that only apply to a king. The king can have too many wives and money and horses. That only applies to the Davra Melech, the king. He always has to have another Sefer Torah with him. But Cesar Schechter, on line 6, Ibipshuto Nira Damadas Melech Lav Davkahu, Ela Ikarashal Mitzvazu Hainu Akamas Memcheles Yehudim. Setting up a Jewish government and society. Bonus Tapik Mashanu Darim Shama. Not enough just to live there. Let other people rule over us. Yaftab Chita, obviously, he says the mitzvahs of a melech only apply to a king, but Mikol Makom. Shar dini melucha shayachin afilu lememshala demokratit sheina tachas shulpan melech. Pretty dafka melech, and he quotes Rayas. Goes to Ramban and Parshas Korach. Ramban says, ilu hayu Yisrael chafetzim b'davar in his ora bo mitchila v'yanase ha-mikdash b'meyechan me'ashoftim. He could have built the base of Mikdash during the times of the Shoftim when there was peace. I mean, there was no melech there. How could they build it in the times of the Shoftim? The answer is, you don't need, when it says that a melech is needed, it's not a melech. It's Jewish sovereignty. It's a Jewish government in a society that has control and that are able. And therefore, says the Ramban, implicitly, you don't need a king, the dafka, in order to fulfill this. Ultimately, there's a mitzvah of melech. Milua is a king. He says it's lav dafka. He also quotes from a Yerushalmi in Meister Sheni. Amar Rebbe Acha, Zot Someres, Es HaMikdash Asidli Hibanos Kodem Malchus Beis David. There are certain sources that say there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash before. And he asked Rav Shach, Rav Judah Tamua, we learn the Gemara together, Sanhedrin Daf Chaf. It has to be in order. How could there be a Beis HaMikdash before Malchus Beis David? What's the answer? It could be that there's something that qualifies as the first stage or a partial kiyum of that Hamalachas Melech. And what is that? Hakamas Memchelas Yisrael Be'eretz Yisrael Zebevada Yakin. You can't build a Beis HaMikdash without a Jewish government. But, that could be enough. And therefore, that is why the Rambam does not count Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, because he assumes it's included in the mitzvah of Hamadas Melech. If we put these two points together, number one, what did we just say? What are we trying to figure out? What's the definition of Geula according to the Ramban? In Beis HaMikdash. But how do you know what's the beginning of that process? Put these two sources together. Number one, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf, first comes Melech, then comes Amalek, then comes Beis HaMikdash. Put that together with, included in Melech, is setting up a Jewish government and setting up an independent, self-sovereign society. If you put these two together, then 1948 was a step of Ha'amadas Melech. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael that became national, even though already the 1840s, 1850s, the Talmidei Hagra already were coming back. That started the Kibbutz Galios. But if we view it in this way, and based on the Nesivus' definition of Aschalta de Geula being the basis for a holiday, source C. I'm still in Rosh Hashanah Sefer. You don't see it, but I'll read it to you. The Zen is Kavin Arab Val Nasivis. If he died them, Sharom, Machias Amalek, Vachashu, Shuaschata, the Gula, and they got rid of Haman. It was a wiping out of Amalek, and they felt that was a step towards that direction, and therefore they made it into a Yantif. Ukemoshis Barnu, Shakamas, Memchal Yudis, Baris, Chashu, Kaschata, the Gula, and therefore this could be the first step in the direction. Again, obviously, we have hindsight. So we see that the Purim story did lead to the Beis HaMikdash. What about, we don't know the future, right? What happens if Rachmana Litzlan, is it possible? Or, we have this 1948, 1967, this whole buildup. We don't have hindsight to say, is this going to lead to the Beis HaMikdash? So he quotes from the Ramban, another Ramban. The Ramban writes in Arshas Netochacha, in the Chukosai and Kisavo, there's a Mesorah that we have two Charbonos, not three. Two Tochachas are Churban Bayis Rishon and Churban Bayis Sheni. Yadua Divrei Ramban, B'Sefer HaGeula, he also writes it in the Sefer HaGeula. The days Tochachos, B'Parshat B'Chukosai, V'Kisavim U'Churbanos, Hema Keneged, Shtei Churbonos, Shalo Ye'orud Churban Shlishi. And Churban Shlishi doesn't only mean a destruction of a building, Shlishi, but a destruction of a land, Shlishi. Shalo yeh od pam churban beis hamikdash, shalo af lo yeh od pam churban beis hamikdash, churban hamedina churban aret. And that's the haftacha, the Ramban says, comes from the Nevi'im. When the process starts, and we start having the building, yes, there are going to be bumps, major bumps in the road, but it is the Mesorah that we have. We recognize and it's only the beginning. It's Aschalta de Geula. Somebody once pointed out that there's a big controversy. It's not like when you're in Eretz Yisrael, it's just when you put things into perspective, and again, I definitely have a different perspective living here for Baruch Hashem 12 years than before that. But you know, sometimes you know people get caught up in language, and in 1948, right, the language of Reishis Michas Kula Seinu, you know, as certain people gets very emotional. I'm not saying whether you know I'm not getting into the issue, but I'm just saying if you think about what it means. It's not even saying it's Geula yet. It's the rachis of the tzmicha. It's the beginning of the sprouting. It's a little step. That's all the Rabbanim of that time who wrote that tefillah. And all they're saying is it's the rachis of the tzmicha. It's the beginning of the beginning of the beginning. We know it's a long process. But if we have the Masara from the Ramban, that the third binyan is a process that there won't be a third churban, and aschal to gula means anything, something stepping towards the Beis Hamikdash, and Hamadas Melech is towards that direction. So then, that is the basis. Again, there's much to talk about, but this is one of the ideas for the basis. But again, we recognize that there's so much more that we need. There's still so much Amalek in the world. It's part of step one. But there's still so much Amalek. Right, Reb Chaim pointed out. That's the Rambam Hilchos Malachim. When he talks about the mitzvah to get rid of the seven nations, he says we can't do that mitzvah anymore. Far avad zichram, right? Their zecher is no longer around. Why? Because the Gemara says in Brachas that Sancheriv mixed up all the nations. So if somebody comes to your house and says, "Hi, I am a Girgashi," or "I am a Yafusi," you say, "Hi, how are you?" But I don't believe you because Sancheriv mixed up all the nations. Now, those mitzvahs are not lamaisa. The very next halacha in the Rambam says it's a mitzvah of mechias Amalek and remembering what Amalek did to us. And the Rambam does not say far avad zichram. And Reb Chaim Soloveitchik pointed out that because Amalek, there's two types of Amalek. There's biological Amalek and there's halachic Amalek. Biological Amalek is not here anymore, right? They were mevubal with Sancheriv. He was mevabal all the umos. Halachic Amalek is still here. Halachic Amalek means any nation that has as its part of its charter to destroy the Jewish people, to not let the Jewish people live in their homeland. Any of those types of mottos, so they have the status of Amalek. Right? They have the status. And those mitzvos, the Amalek is still here, and therefore it is not up to us to be able to go past stage one right now. We're at stage one, and we daven for the day. The Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us peace, and we know it's a long process. The beautiful thought one of the Bali Mutzer once said is a pasuk in Zechariah, I think it is, that discusses Mashiach. Ani v'rochev al hachamor, ani poor v'rochev al hachamor, and riding on a donkey. So every word can be spoken about ani. Why ani? Zazor that says that Meseches ani. When Bnei Yisrael learn Meseches ani, Mashiach will come. Ani is Eirvin, Nid, and Yevamos. Those three, which are three of the more challenging Mesechas. So, Mesechas Ani. So, three times every 7.5 years, you can say that in a Yomi cycle, on the first day of Eirvin, Anita, and Yevamos. But then it says, Rocheva la Chamor, riding on a donkey. Question is, why a donkey? A donkey isn't so glamorous. If you were Mashiach, you would want to come on a stallion. You'd want to come on a knight in shining armor. You know, a donkey. You ride a donkey? So somebody said, I don't remember who, one of the Mepharshim say, have you ever ride a donkey? I remember once, my Shana Aleph in Israel, my Shana Aleph, we went to Mitzpeh Hoshea, up near Tveria. We rode donkeys. The donkey you go on, the donkey goes like forward and then stops and sits down and then goes backwards and then goes sideways and then goes a little forward more. It's not a smooth ride. Eventually you get there, but it's so not smooth. That's Geula process. Ani v'rocheva l'chamor. We know there are a lot of bumps in the road. We know there's difficulties. But we believe, and there's so much looking around us as part of a process. Part of a process. The miracles that took place, as many pointed out, Hashem does miracles b'chdi. Hashem does, you think about you just read some history books about 1948, 600,000 Jews, 2 million Arabs that said, if you declare a state, then we are going to destroy you. We're going to finish off what Hitler didn't finish. That's what they all said that they were planning to do. And they tried. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Siyata Deshmaya, didn't allow it to happen. But again, this was the day that I was declared. So there are those that say, oh, but there's a negative involved. Right? I mentioned before, mentioned in the shir earlier in the week, what about the Shalosh Shvuos? What about the Shalosh Shvuos, the Gemara at the end of Maseches Ksubos, of Kuf Yud Aleph, that there were three Shvuos taken that took place at some time in history based on Sukkim and Shir HaShirim. They shouldn't go up en masse, Eretz Yisrael, and number two, they shouldn't rebel against the nations. What about the Shavuos? That's what the Megillas Esther quotes. So there are numerous dozens of defenses how this is not a problem. And the one that's probably true, they're all true, the one that is the simplest is that this is not a halachic Gemara, whatever it means. There's not one posek that quotes this Gemara. Then I got it at the end of Ksubis. Rambam, the Rif, the Rush, the Tour, the Shulchan Aruch. Nobody quotes it. Nobody quotes this Gemara in halacha context, number one. Number two, want some other answers? The Meshech Chachma says that. Meshech Chachma was obviously before. He says after 1917, 1918. I gave it. It's in the source material. Meir Simcha says after the Balfour Declaration, Sar Pachar HaShvuos. The Isser of the Jews going up en masse against the nations, but they gave us permission to have a homeland. So there's no issue. Number two. Number three explains the many mefarshim that the Shvuas go together. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, the Aradea, Reish Lam and Vav. You have it there in Sword 17. That two people swear to each other to have an agreement. One of them breaks their side of the agreement, the other one's pater. He doesn't need to have his shvua undone. So many say, the third shvua in that Gemara, nobody focuses on what's the third shvua. The Goyim cannot persecute us more than appropriate. It definitely violated their side of the bargain. And maybe it's not coincidental that 1945 ended their violation of the bargain. In 1948, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to be able to come back and establish the Jewish government that we have been yearning for so many years. And many others, the Stipler says, you want to say something was wrong with it originally? Wrong with it originally, but now it's a reality and we have to make it the best we can. And we have to be involved in the government and we have to be mashpia, b'chulu. So that is, again, Shavuot Shavuos is an issue, was brought up. But again, the post-game did not assume that it was an issue. Another question, another issue that's brought up by some is that, well, how could it be that so many people who were so anti-Torah were involved in the beginning? It doesn't have the status of a Jewish government. It doesn't have the status of a Jewish government. But the people who started it were anti. So many Mepharshim point out, if Schechter says this over, read Sefer Malachim, how many kings were over the Avodah Zarah? That doesn't mean they didn't have the status of kings. They were a king who did some averus. So that a Baal Avera doesn't mean that they can't be a king, be a leader, be a government. And number two, Rav Abraham Smecha, Rav Teichtel, in his unbelievable Sefer, writes in Source 21, he asked this question. Remember, he asked this question before the state. He was killed in the Holocaust. But he knew that from the 1850s until the 1930s, who were the Chovavei Tzion, who were building up Eretz Yisrael? Many of the non-religious and even the anti-religious. So he says, how could it be that Kodesh Baruch Hu would bring the Geula through such means? That Kodesh Baruch Hu Yaskel Geula de Ovrei Ritzono de Anoshim She Nikar Bahem Shum Lachluchis Shel Yadus. So explains the Eimav Anasmecha. I think we quoted this before Rosh Hashanah. Mevuar B'Sifrei Mekubalim. We quote the Kabbalistic idea. Sheba'eish Hashem Yisparach. Wrote Salazos Ezer Dover Gogo Ba'olam. Often when Hashem wants to do something amazing for the world, Chesed, Rachamim, Midas Hadin sometimes says, no, they don't deserve it, don't give it. Hashem clothes it and garbs it in unseemly clothing in order to get it under the rug, so to speak. He says, that's why, fascinating, David HaMelech was one of the greatest gifts that we've ever had. Always his lineage. Not so pure. Lot and his daughters, Yehuda and Tamar, Ruth and Boaz. This is David's background? And the answer is, he quotes from the Beis Yosef, in the Magen Meisharim, yeah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to get David and Malach, Malchus Beis David in, without anybody noticing. says the Amoron Tzmecha, it could be coming back to Eretz Yisrael too. And the Midas Hadin looked in the 1840s, 1850s. He sees so many people. What is this? Ah, this is the first step. This is the first steps. So, Shalosh Shavuos, we assume, we can explain that is not an issue. The fact that there were Rishoyim and people who are so anti, we can assume it's not an issue. Isn't it supposed to be through Nisim and it flows? So many sources in Chazal say, it depends on us. Depends on us. First of all, there were Nisim and it flows. You want to say there was nothing changed, you know, in nature? Rabbi Ben Miyatim, it for sure was. And it depends if we're Socher or not. As the Imam HaNesmecha also summarizes on the next page in 22, summarizes various sources. If we're Zoche, then that will be Zoche the miracles. If not, we'll be Zoche even without miracles. Zachu, Be'ita, Achishena, Be'ita, if we are not Zoche, Achishena, if we are Zoche. So this is why some of the issues that some bring up when we talk about Yom Ha'atzmaut. So based on this, now we look into some sources. Early Achronim quote the ideas of creating holidays for Nisan that took place. The Pri Chadash, the Magen Avraham quotes this. It's called personal Purims. Personal Purims. The Magen Avraham quotes in Hilchos Siman Tafresh Pei Vav. Yecholim b'nei, quotes from the Maharam al Shaker. Yecholim b'nei Yair l'sakein baskama. The b'nei Yair could be make a takana. And could force it on the people of the city, the Alabama Harem, and all the future descendants, on a day that a miracle was done, he could enact. He could enact a holiday, and maybe they even should enact a holiday in order to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the Chasam Sofer also writes, this idea about personal Purims. The Shaper Matzit Tzibur Yachid Likoy Yom Moed La'atzmam Yom Shanasa L'Amneis U'mitzvah Nami Avdi. And it's a mitzvah. Ayin Magen Avram. The Prim Chadash does not think it's as much of a basis. But there is an idea already of having holidays. Again, nothing happened between the time of Purim and Hanukkah. Nothing happened in the next 2,000 years that related to all of Am Yisrael until 1948. Why anybody else? They all made personal Purims throughout the years. But there was never an event in 2,000 years. So there's no model for it. And therefore, we can't look earlier. You look in some of the later, so the Tshuvas Kol Mevaser, one of the poskim at the time, wrote in 1952 as a tshuva in Source 28, talking about saying Hallel and Simchan Yom Ha'atzmaut. Again, we're talking about the day itself. How does one express that? So that's a question that I'm not getting into right now. What type of davening? Hallel, where do you say Hallel, with a bracha, without a bracha, in davening, many different halachas are expressing it, but just that day itself, there is strong basis. I'm not saying that it's an obligation, any discussion in the postgim, but where we come from and our circles and looking around, the way I just view it is that miracles that have taken place and that take place on a daily basis. Again, this was more of a halachic view of the discussion. There's a lot of emotion and a lot of other things that we could add just by opening up our eyes. Rabbi Abba in Sanhedrin, Daf Sadiche, says there's no greater sign of the Geula than the tree starting to sprout and the flowers. And it's pointed out from a year after the Churban until about the 1850s, nothing grew in Eretz Yisrael. There were famous letters of Mark Twain. Mark Twain came by and he said, "This place is terrible. Nothing grows here. It's so arid and it's, I don't know how people live here in Palestine." Starting in the 1850s, look around. It's unbelievable how things are growing and blossoming. Right? The land waited for us. We came back. Right? There's never been a parallel story in the history of the world. And after 2,000 years, a nation comes back to its indigenous homeland. Unheard of. But it's because we have an eternal connection. And we have to recognize, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. We say in Hallel, Hodu Hashem ki tov ki li'olam chasto. Hodu Hashem ki tov. If Hashem does good to us, we say Hode. And only then, that is what makes us roi for ki li'olam chasto. There'll be more chesed. We have to have a karset tov for what we have. Again, it's a little bit. Maybe it's a lot, but it's part of the process. We don't have a base of Migdash. There's still plenty of Amalek. But again, the fact that we have a place where Jews could call home. The fact that, who knows, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't plan it, but if we had it was a state before the Holocaust, Rahman al-Islam, what lives could have been saved, is a place that all Jews could always go to, a place that everybody could call home. We're not having this so much to talk about in Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and living in Eretz Yisrael and the celebration and more Torah, and I just look at it from a spiritual perspective, more Torah being learned today in Eretz Yisrael than since the Beis HaMikdash. Right, more Jews are identified, the identity and what Eretz Yisrael represents for Jews in the four corners of the globe, connecting to Israel. Again, there's so much that we have to be thankful for. And again, that's what the day is. It's the day of Hakaras HaTov, the day to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu what He has given us, even though we recognize we need a lot more. We need a lot more. There's still plenty of Amalek. We're in the middle of step one. We're in the middle of the beginning of step one, whatever it is. Aschalta de Gula, as the Nesiva said, and that is the basis for the establishment of the day. And Be'ez Hashem, again, how one celebrates is another discussion, but recognize that it's a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. And if you want to feel it, go watch some videos. Go watch some videos about 1948 online. There's so much to feel. You know, we are a visual, human beings are visual people. Just to think about these, just to recognize the story. It's just unbelievable. Every time you hear more details about the miracles that took place. Again, a miracle doesn't mean you establish a holiday, but the miracles as part of coming back to Eretz Yisrael and setting up a Jewish government with a Jewish homeland. And again, it's not a Torah government, but it's a Jewish government. And that's what we dive in for more. Yes, Yaakov, you got a hand up?
All right, with Purim, where we say it's called the Geula. But they also had Mordechai and Esther, they had Nevuah. Nowadays, we don't have Nevuah. So how are we able to be equally confident?
So the Nesivis did not say, that's a good question. But two things. Number one, the Nesivis did not say it was based on Nevuah. It was that they felt that it was Schalta de Geula, and Nevuah ended then. But the fact that an event happens and, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu does something amazing for us, we don't have Nevuah, but we look in the sources. Rav Shechter was based on sources. It was based on Mesorah. It was based on, you know, everything that he believes in and that he feels. And therefore, even though we don't have Nevuah, we still have to do what we can to be able to take an active role in what we're supposed to be doing. Now, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does this, many say that. How could you not say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How could it be a day that, you know, people just, just nothing. I remember one of my neighbors once told me, when he's a rav, he told me once he picked somebody up in somebody a tramp. He had somebody so he was going, he picked them up, a certain fellow, and the fellow comes in. Fellow is not somebody who, let's say, would celebrate Yom HaTzmaut. Let's say that. He goes into the tramp. And he says, where are you going? He says, I'm going to whatever. He's like, you're going there? Hashkacha, whoa, unbelievable. I can't believe that. That's exactly where I need to go. He starts getting so excited. Is it? So this Rav says, can I ask you something? He says, that's Hashkacha. He says, 1948. Any Hashkacha possible there? He's like, Epis, no. If we want to see Hashkacha, we can see Hashkacha. And as I mentioned, in again, separate issues. A, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Two, Medinat Yisrael. But we have to be thankful for what, you know, try to see through the fog. See through the fog of you saw today, somebody sent me a picture, they send it every year, Panovich Yeshiva and Bnei Brak, Rav Shach and the Panovich Rebbe. There's an Israeli flag that flows, that's put up on the top of the Panovich Yeshiva every Yom HaTzmaut, the entire day. I have a picture of it, I can send it to you today. But again, they recognize that maybe we, I don't know what they did in the Yeshiva, but the Israeli flag flies high. But they realize what Yom HaTzmaut meant. They knew in 1948 what it meant for the Jewish people. And we have to recognize, again, I'm not here to judge anybody else. I'm just saying what I believe and what the... you know, how I've been, you know, trained and I've gone from my Rebbeim. And it's something that we have to recognize. Because Baruch Hu gives us a tremendous matana. We have to make sure that we show our appreciation in some way.
Rabbi, how is Hanukkah considered the beginning of a geula because no Beis HaMikdash came out of it? Or
so the they had a Beis HaMikdash, but the purification and the renewal of the Beis HaMikdash because it was in disuse. So the fact
necessarily that long. So was that considered?
It lasted 150 years. 150 years.
Yeah.
Any step getting back to the Beis HaMikdash or the usage of the Beis HaMikdash, that can be considered as Chalav
Geula.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, Ellie.
Why didn't we have a Yom Tov or any Hallel for the previous two times we managed to get back to Israel?
A separate time when we, is there a separate day when we had the, I would say Purim was the one that was established for Bayashani.
No, but like when Ezra came back and I suppose then with Yeshua.
Purim was the beginning of that process.
Establish
one day. Establish one day. Not every step of the way you can establish a holiday. Purim was the beginning of that process.
And what about with Yeshua?
And with Yeshua, that was the beginning of the, that's Pesach, and that's Shavuos, and that's Sukkos. Those are the three that have to do with that geula. You know, so we have days that mark that geula.
But they're not necessarily Eretz Yisrael, are they? Are they more like on the way, but not the actual?
I mean, again, it's geula. Geula means Beis HaMikdash. Ultimate stage of the Beis HaMikdash is Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim and Hashra Shashchina there. Yeah, but this process happened to be, setting up the government, which we were able to do this time. Mordechai, I haven't seen you in a long time. How are you? Good to see you.
Yeah. Are you ready?
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Jonathan, yeah.
I know Rebbe said he wasn't going to go into specifically Nesach HaTfilah and Havel a little bit, but are there any sort, like what are the sources specifically for like the Tfilah, in terms of Shofar and Shema and meaning a separate question from Halal.
Something that originally when I first heard about it, or even living in Chutz Laaretz, I thought it was somewhat strange because, like, what are you blowing shofar for? What do you think I should try Israel? But when you're in on the inside, it's a different perspective. First of all, I remember somebody saying, like, what are you saying, like, l'chadodi for? At night, that's a Shabbos thing. If you look at l'chadodi, it's not about Shabbos, those four verses. It's all about Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael. Those are what the words mean. The question is, why do we say it on Shabbos? That's a better question. We say it on Shabbos, but if you look at what the words mean, it's ori, that has nothing to do with Shabbos. So the Rabbanim at that time felt, the Rabbanim that were involved, felt that these are appropriate words. There's no shame Hashem, extra tefillah. There's nothing, no downside. So when they wanted to make a tefillah, they wanted to make sure it was in a religious setting. So they used these, they quoted words from Hallel. And shofar always has to do with geula. And what else is there? Animamin. Right? All of these are geula related, and a tefillah that Misha, by the way, Hashem started off as Hallel the geula. It's all related to geula. And Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim, because that's what they want the day was. They felt the Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence so deeply. This is what they felt that they had to do. They're not trying to make it into a Yom Kippur or a hodgepodge. This is what they felt was most appropriate to express the feelings that we have to have of the day. So in my shul, we do the tefillah at night, and in the morning, we just say Hallel. Some shul say Tzuka D'Zimra. We happen to not. Again, it's extra Tehillim. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying extra Tehillim. We do it on Hoshana Rabbah. On Shana Rabbah, we also add in on a weekday, we add in the Pesukei the Zimra of Shabbos. Again, there's different minhagim and different. Again, it doesn't say like, oh, he does a lot. They're really tzioni. He doesn't. Rav Schechter is the biggest tzioni in the world. He doesn't say aftorah. He doesn't do any of these tefillah hagigits. So again, it depends on the perspective. But again, being in Eretz Yisrael definitely gives you a different perspective from on the inside. And you see, it's a lot of the externals and the discussions, really melt away when you think about the important parts of it. Okay, one more? Yeah.
Is there a big shkoyach? I just want to know, is there like a rational reason why most big rabbim
in Judaism don't really agree with what just went down this year?
I would say a number of them, you have to talk to them inside. A lot of them talk about Trefa Medina, quote unquote, which is what it was then. A lot of them are a lot of it is Minhag HaSeinu B'Yadeinu. Meaning originally there was some, some negative to it, and they focus more on Torah, and they focus more. It goes back to Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld and Rav Kook. But again, are there perspectives? Meaning Rav Schechter is based on a number of assumptions. If you don't say that Melech includes a Jewish government, then how do you know it does Chazat Gula? I think deep down, I think it's wrong not to recognize it as a day of anything, and not to mark it at all, and to have a current that told that Kodesh Baruch Hu. But they would relate to some of the issues that, it was created by, non-frum sources. So it's, I mentioned in the shiur earlier this week, somebody once said, three things that were connected to anti-frum people, and therefore it was stolen from the Orthodox, even though they're very important things. Eretz Yisrael, Tanakh, and Lashon HaKodesh. Right? Those are three very important, parts of our religion. And we can't let anybody kidnap them. Are there different perspectives? For sure. Sure, there are different perspectives. That's why I said I don't judge others. But again, for people not to recognize anything and how to express it. And there's a guy that I know, there's a guy who lives near me. He's more of a Shasnik. And he says he does Yom Yerushalayim, not Yom Ha'atzmaut. He said he feels Yom Ha'atzmaut where he grew up. And he says people came off the boat and they came to the kibbutzim and they cut off their payas and they did this and they did that. He says, I can't celebrate that day. He says, even though I recognize the good things, I'm like, you do what you want. He says, Yom Yerushalayim. He says, Hallel. He does. So whatever. So different people have different feelings. But, we have to just recognize what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us and the matana that he's given us.
Thank you.
Okay. Yaakov, and then we'll stop.
I know Rabbi mentioned something about Shem Hashem, and obviously the tale that's mutter. But what about like Lecha Dodi? We say in the first, at least of the four.
Look, Sfardim generally say Shem Hashem a lot more. They're much more comfortable saying Shem Hashem in a lot of things. But it would have been Zmiris in general. There's every minhagim. If you're doing it L'Shem Shemayim in a tefillah, I think it's okay, even if it's not a pasuk. That's what, again, but many people don't say Shem Hashem. Whatever you do is good. Whatever you do is good. Enjoy. So what they say in this country is Mo'adim l'simcha l'gula shlema. I don't say Chag Sameach. It's not a chag. I don't look at it. People say it. I don't try to be very meduyak. You want to say Yom Ha'atzmaut Sameach. Say that. Have a good barbecue. Do that too. But go ahead. Got to be as meduyak as possible. Anyway, have a great day, guys.